Coming up and sharing a few different bits and pieces there as well about what's going on and around the place. And I thought I'd just get in before Andy comes up and shares about being at Rebel Sports, and I didn't tell him the story of salvation there either. He can tell you what happened the last time we met in Rebel Sports if he wants, because he's coming up next. And also got Charlie coming up just about, I'll let him share what he's got to talk about there as well. So.
Yeah, good morning, church. Hey, just a gentle reminder, we've got a working bee on Friday the 26th in the evening for about 2 hours, and then the following morning, the Saturday the 27th, for about 4 hours. So if anybody's interested in helping out, just put your name on the clipboard out in the foyer. We're just going to do the prep work for painting the foyer on Friday evening, and then we'll try to do some painting on Saturday morning. Yeah, oh yeah, by all means. If I've got names here, I'll just touch base with everybody and we'll just slowly work it all together and move forward from there. So the clipboard's just in the notice board on the table. Thank you.
Hi. I was just minding my own business at Rebel Sport. a week before that... Brad was there, and I was just looking at the men's shorts, actually. I'm not sure whether to buy felt-type ones or other ones. Then this hat came flying over the top of the rack, and didn't know what was going on. And then some strange fella came around the corner and ran round, and it was Nigel. It wasn't a gospel message, but it was a hat trick. So I was thinking about the Titanic. Nigel, when you were saying about that, what would have prevented the Titanic from sinking? Sorry, what was that?
Bulkheads.
Anything else?
No icebergs.
What about if there was something on the iceberg? No. Maybe a fluorescent penguin with a high vis and a sign. No, can you think of anything else that might have been on the iceberg that might have stopped the Titanic from sinking? Yes, because this week I've been thinking all about lighthouses. And I thought, if there's a lighthouse on the iceberg, that might have worked, wouldn't it? Anyway, actually here to talk about youth group, but I actually was thinking about lighthouses this week. So I thought I might just share a little bit about lighthouses before I talk about youth group. As Christians, we're called to not only walk in the light, but to be the light for others. And there's some verses that sort of encouraged me lately, especially with youth group and living. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in John 9, verse 5, Jesus is the light of the world. And in Psalm, I think it's 18 and 28, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning and the light, my God, turns my darkness into. So it turns my light, my darkness into light. So Jesus is the light of the world, and we're all called to be lights. And I was thinking about lighthouses and how we're all called to be lights. And I think, looking at that, I was thinking, well, actually, we're all volunteer lighthouse workers, really, aren't we? We're all volunteers on a lighthouse. We're all operators, and God puts us in areas and positions that are quite strategic, where our lighthouses go. Just like around New Zealand, the strategic places where you put a lighthouse. There's no point putting a lighthouse in the middle of New Zealand somewhere, I don't know, like Wanaka or somewhere, is there? So there is strategic places, and I think for us as Christians, God puts us in strategic places or positions or areas around Invercargill. Maybe you go to Rebel Sport quite a lot sharing a message. That could be a strategic lighthouse point. But also, it helps guide and steer people away from danger. Generally, that's what a lighthouse does. And I think generally as us too, and I think of youth group as our responsibility and roles and rallies and in church and elders, that we're to try and help steer people away from danger and also be beacons of hope in darkness and steer people towards the light, which is Jesus. This is what we want to do with the youth group and rallies, I guess, Terrier, and that as well, is we want to that be our sort of motto. We do sort of short talks at youth group. We try and make them challenging, not too boring. I tend to fall asleep after 5 minutes of someone talking. You're probably doing that with me already. So I like to try and make it short because that's my attention span. And try and equip kids with just good things that help them with their life and at school, because it's a real mixed up world we're in just now. And as I see doing youth group many years ago and sort of having me pulled back into doing it again, it's a tough time for teenagers going through with school and all the pressures that are on and trying to make a decision on what am I going to do when I grow up, when I leave home, university, all those things, and show them there's actually a hope. There's a hope in Jesus. And by doing youth group, we hope to try and share and do that with the leaders that we've got there. And also, we'd like to have a blast with some fun activities. And I guess from doing it last few years, we've sort of gone from about 14 kids, and now have on average about 24 to 27 kids turn up. So it's actually getting too big for the hall here, and it's quite daunting having all these kids that are really keen, and they're a really great bunch of kids, really keen to do stuff, and quite attentive, and it's nice just to go along and be there, just have a yarn with them. And that's sort of where youth group is sort of going. And out of that, we've sort of tried to get Tim started to get some older ones get together socially just to do some stuff. Because what I've noticed over the years at Rosedale and probably other churches as well, that we tend to lose a lot of our kids around the age of 14, 15 and up, and they stop coming to church. They don't want to come to youth group anymore. And then we actually lose them from church and stuff and for a period of time. So it's hopefully we're going to try and actually encourage and get some cool things going that keeps our kids wanting to be here and come along. So as parents, if you've got kids that age group, really encourage them to come to a youth group or a rally or something like that, because it's really important. You probably don't, a lot of people don't realise what goes on during the week with what people are doing. So that's what's happening at youth group. And so just like lighthouse operators, our volunteers and youth group leaders can sometimes feel a bit isolated, sometimes feel like you're out. When you become a lighthouse keeper, you've got to take your family, you've got to isolate yourself a bit, live in this building. So sometimes, separated from church in the week, you can feel a bit isolated from the church and stuff. So just remember, you'll see sometimes Nigel wanders around with his camera and takes some photos. You'll see photos in the chapel chat. You might see some of the kids in the photos. So please remember just to pray for the kids, pray for the leaders. It's something that if you want to feel a lot older than what you are, come and help with the youth group. Especially when you get to my age, you feel like you're 70-something instead of, I don't know, 50 or so. So pray for energy and strength and help us with our talks we're doing and just to encourage the young people. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. And again, sorry about that. Actually, I did pick up on something that you said in there, and it was too late for the Titanic because they didn't have the lighthouse on the... Isolate, sorry, dad joke, really bad, really bad. We've got Murray and Valmay Grieve going to come up and talk there now, so I'll just hand over to them. And Murray's also going to bring a short message as he's gulping down some water there in anticipation, so I'm looking forward to that as well, so come on up. Oh, and just the Rosedale kids in the field will just stay in this morning as well, thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. We've just come at this stage to just, we've been at a primetime camp up at Lakelands last month, and some of you might have heard of that, some of you might not have, but you might be wondering what goes on and what is the purpose of primetime conference or camp. It was started in 2017 by Graham and Wanda Ashby, and I think most of you will probably know them. They've been here, and and held annually since 2017. There was 2 years missed out with COVID. So perhaps this describes it best in the words of one of the previous promotions. Primetime Conference is a time to engage with like-minded people, mostly over the age of 50. who want their mature years to be their best years. The conference is designed to inform, inspire, and encourage your heart and soul with challenging and uplifting messages. The friendship, fellowship, fun, and delicious meals add to the most magnificent scenery and help make the conference a real delight for all. So that's the description of it. And Valmy's going to fill us in a wee bit about what went on at the conference there.
Oh, yes. Just before I talk about the prime time, I was just going to do a wee update about our seniors' events as well. In January, we had a nice afternoon tea under the trees at Queen's Park. And then we helped with the church service here when the church camp was on at Queenstown. And recently, we had a lovely barbecue tea at Heather's new home in Otatara. It was about 24 people there. We liked to eat. And then we liked to sing, so we had a great time of gospel singing. And then I mentioned the Thursday lunchtime, which actually isn't a seniors event. It's for anybody. And it's usually fairly well attended, about 12 to 14 people sometimes. And it's a great time of encouragement with singing, sharing, eating again, and time of prayer. And anyone is welcome to join us then. That's from 12 o'clock till 1:30. On a Thursday, every second Thursday. But then just coming back to prime time, we've been three times now, and yes, we usually start with a bit of fun. Graham has a video called Just for Laughs, and we sit there and look at people being tricked and things like that, and have a good, so that's how we start. On the Saturday night, we had to wear a Mad Hatter's hat to the Mad Hatter's tea party, if we wanted to eat our dinner. And then we watched two couples make cheese scones. The husband were to make them with the assistance of the wife to do everything except talk to him. And so that was an interesting, one chap was quite adept at making his cheese scones and the other had no idea, yeah. The people come from, some from the North Island, Christchurch, Oamaru, Timaru, Cromwell, Alexandra, and there was about eight people there connected with Rosedale. We enjoy singing again, and just about have the roof flapping, actually. It's a great time of singing. We had speakers who challenged us. On the Friday night, we had Noel and Christy speak about their trip to Ethiopia, known as Cush in the Bible, the very ancient culture, and they have churches that were from the 12th and 13th century that have been hewn out of or chopped out of rock, a very colourful place. And so she opened our eyes a little bit about Ethiopia. And the two main religions are Orthodox Christianity and Islam. Then we had Ron Temby gave us three messages, learning from the past, and that started from the church age when the church was first started, and God's plan to send Jesus in the fullness of time. We are in the church age at the moment, and as Galatians 4:4 says, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. And we're now in the period of grace, whereas people in the Old Testament were under the period of law. So the purpose for Jesus to come was to buy us freedom, so we are not slaves to the Old Testament law. And then he talked about the Jewish converts at the heart of all the church and how the church developed, the Reformation, when the New Testament was put into Greek and Latin so people could read it for themselves rather than just rely on the scholars. And then, of course, these days with the printing press, we have Bible in our own language, and we are very privileged, actually. There's still many people in the world who can't read the Bible for themselves. Then it was understanding the present. People have good diet these days, good diet, exercise, and we just seem to be living longer. And so he was challenging us how the seniors can help the younger generations. A lot of family breakdowns these days, the rise of the nuclear family. One thing he mentioned was a singles day. I had heard about this, but I did a little bit more Googled. What is a Singles Day? It's a holiday celebrated annually in China, and it's in contrast to Valentine's Day for couples. So there's a Singles Day, and it was popularised by the giant Chinese retailer Alibaba in 2009, and it's one of the world's biggest online shopping events when unattached individuals spoil and treat themselves with gifts and presents. So that's something that was, that's the world we live in today. The third session was about hope for the future, and Maurie's going to talk about this. He basically challenged us to keep busy for the Lord. He said retirement is a modern invention, and there's nothing in the Bible about it. And he mentioned the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and reminded us we are put on earth to work and be faithful and to look where the needs are, what we are passionate about and what we are good at. Yes, and the other thing was, a third speaker was from the North Island, Stuart Bay, and he did two sessions on the Treaty of Waitangi, which was quite interesting and gave us quite an insight into his personal life when he discovered his own Maori ancestry. And now he has learnt te reo, and he's running a course for others so that they can better understand and share the gospel with their family and with their whānau. And then there was a short discussion about the future of Christian camping in New Zealand. There's so many campsites and the expense of keeping them going, particularly in the North Island. So that's something for us to keep in mind as well. We have a wonderful facility at Lakelands. We first went there probably 55 years ago with a youth group camp several times, and it's changed a lot over that time. Here we are.
Oh, thanks a lot, Valmé. No, that's very good. Yeah, so yes, as Valmé mentioned, Ron Temby was one of the speakers at the primetime camp, and he took three sessions. One was headed Learn from the Past, the next one was Understand the Present, and the last one was Hope for the Future. So today I'm taking a cue from the title of his last subject heading Hope for the Future. So, it's not very long. So, hope is something that most of the world is looking for, whether they realise it or not. But most seem to be searching in all the wrong places. Some are putting their hope in having a good bank balance, you know, plenty of that, or having a good paying job. Some are looking to our political leaders to find solutions and lead us away from wars and violence in the community. Some of these problems on the surface would look almost to be unsolvable. We're even trying to save the world ourselves. Yet as time goes on, for the world at large, hope for the future seems like an unattainable dream. So the question is, where should we be looking for this hope for the future? Surely, a wise place to start would be to look to the God of hope and see what he has to say. In Romans 15:13, we read, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God is the one we all need to look to and to listen to if we want to have any hope for the future. Looking to the things mentioned before, although not necessarily bad in themselves, can be a bit like clawing at the air or swimming against a strong rip tide, and we know how much hope there would be in that. In Matthew 11, 28, 29, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." But there's a little problem, or should I say, a great big problem. The next verse explains. There's only 12 words in it. Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I'm sure most of you know that off by heart, probably. But it is a problem, a big problem, isn't it, that faces us all. We're separated from God through sin, and in ourselves, as you would say, we're stuck. We're really stuck. Maybe you've been way out in the soft sand somewhere, and you've been walking through it and stood still for a few minutes, and you start sinking in the sand. And if you sink far enough, you won't be able to get out. You're stuck. It's a wee bit like our lives. We're stuck. But the amazing thing is, God doesn't leave us there. God will not countenance sin, but he's also a God of love. How good is that? Romans 5:8, another verse that you'll know probably very well. "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." This verse says so much. We're stuck. We're under condemnation. No hope in ourselves. But God, in his mercy and love, comes to our rescue. And that's demonstrated in this best-known verse, which I think a lot of you will know off by heart. And it's often quoted. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, and when we think about that verse, just the love of God, that even though we were lost in sin, we were stuck, we were under condemnation, but yet while we were sinners, God died for us. How often would we do that for people who are our enemies? Would we be prepared to die for them? Take a lot of doing, wouldn't it? Yeah. So that's what Jesus did for us. He came down to this world, lived amongst us, taught people, gathered his disciples around him. But in the end, his purpose was to come here to die for you and for me, so that we could go to heaven at last. You could say that this is the rescue of the ages, and it is. As each of us comes to Jesus, admitting our sin and asking Jesus to come into our lives and take over, the promise contained in John 3:16 is ours. How great is that? And Romans 8:1 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." How fantastic. No condemnation. We're sinners and we've been freed from sin when we come to Jesus. He took it all on himself on that cross. The dread of judgment is gone. We have a new purpose in living, and we can look forward with confidence to what lies ahead. And what lies ahead? Well, of course, we have our life to live, but in Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. What a day that's going to be, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, we can truly say from the above that when we put our trust in Jesus and follow him, he gives us a real and living hope for the future. That's my message. So maybe you're here today. Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus as your Saviour. Maybe you're not sure. But Jesus loves you. He loves each one of us. He died on the cross so that we could come and know him. And in the end, when he returns, we will be able to spend eternity in heaven. How wonderful. So thank you very much. That's my message today. So pass over to you, Nigel. Oh, I see. Oh, Rav, sorry. Yeah.